Hey everyone, and welcome to this deep dive.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fascinating one for sure.
Yeah.
We're going to be looking at substances
yeah.
that are used for spiritual and ritualistic purposes.
Sounds pretty out there.
It is. It is. And we have this fantastic three-part article from The Spiritual Seek to guide us.
Okay.
It's called Substances Commonly Used for Spiritual and Ritualistic Purposes.
Catchy.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And get this, we're not just talking about, you know, like exotic plants and herbs.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about beverages and even some things that you might find in your kitchen cupboard.
Really? Like what?
Oh, I have to wait and see.
But
that's what I think is so cool about this whole topic.
Yeah.
Is that it bridges ancient traditions with modern science, you know?
That's right.
We'll see how these substances have been used for connecting with the spirit world,
mm-hmm.
but also for things like treating anxiety and PTSD.
Yeah. It's a really fascinating area where spirituality and science kind of intersect.
Exactly. Okay, so let's just jump right in with a category that I think always sparks a ton of curiosity, psychedelics.
Oh.
Our article starts off with ayahuasca.
Oh, yeah.
This potent brew that's traditionally used in the Amazon rainforest.
Intense.
I know. I've heard so much about it and the, you know, intense experiences it can create.
Yeah. Ayahuasca is definitely powerful stuff. It's made from a very specific combination of plants. The Banisteriopsis coffee vine.
Go.
And Psychotria viridis leaves, and it's traditionally prepared and administered by a shaman.
Oh, wow.
Often accompanied by these songs called Icaros.
So there's like a whole ritualistic element to it. It's not just about like, you know, ingesting the substance.
Exactly. It's about the whole experience, the setting, the intention, the guidance.
That makes sense. So when people drink ayahuasca, what kind of effects are we talking about?
Well, users often describe intense hallucinations, emotional release, and a really profound feeling of interconnectedness with, you know, everything around them.
That sounds almost overwhelming.
It can be, for sure. That's where the shaman comes in.
Oh, right. To help guide people through such a powerful experience.
Exactly. They provide spiritual guidance and support to help participants navigate the often challenging insights and emotions that can surface.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you think of that quote we have here from Aboriginal elder Pat Anderson.
Yeah.
It says, country is a source of identity, health, and well-being for Aboriginal peoples.
Mm.
It is our past, our present, and our future.
Mm.
And it seems like, you know, there's such a strong connection between the land culture and spiritual practice with ayahuasca.
Absolutely. Many indigenous cultures see their environment as an integral part of their spiritual lives.
Mm-hmm.
And ayahuasca is a powerful example of that connection.
Yeah, and it's amazing to think that this ancient practice is now being studied for its therapeutic potential.
I know, right?
Especially in treating things like PTSD and anxiety.
It's quite a bridge between traditional wisdom and modern science.
It really is. Okay, so moving from the rainforest to the realm of magic mushrooms.
Right.
Also known as psilocybin mushrooms.
Yeah, these have been used for centuries in spiritual practices.
Especially by the Mazatec people of Mesoamerica.
Mm-hmm.
They have such a unique perspective on them.
They do. The Mazatec consider mushrooms to be sacred little beings or natural spirits.
Wow.
That can guide them toward healing and spiritual insight.
It seems like the setting and the intention play a really crucial role in shaping that whole experience.
They do. They use them in very intentional ceremonies involving prayer and specific chants.
So what kind of effects do people typically report with psilocybin mushrooms?
Well, they often describe visual hallucinations, altered perceptions of time and space, and a feeling of unity with the cosmos.
Sounds pretty intense.
It can be. These experiences can be deeply introspective, often leading to emotional breakthroughs and a reevaluation of personal beliefs.
You know, it's interesting that these mushrooms are now being researched for their potential in treating mental health conditions like depression.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder what other ancient practices might hold valuable insights for modern medicine.
It really does.
Yeah.
And speaking of fascinating figures in the world of psychedelics.
Oh, yeah.
We can't forget Albert Hofmann, the Swiss chemist who first isolated psilocybin in 1958.
Right.
He also has another pretty famous discovery under his belt.
Oh, I know this one, LSD.
You got it? LSD. A substance that's pretty much synonymous with the counterculture movement of the 1960s.
Right. Absolutely. With figures like Timothy Leary and his famous phrase, turn on, tune in, drop out.
Yeah, that really captured the spirit of that era.
It's amazing to think that LSD, which was once associated with, you know, rebellion and social change, is now being studied for its potential therapeutic benefits, too.
It really shows how perceptions and applications of these substances can evolve over time.
Absolutely. So what kind of effects does LSD have?
Well, they're actually similar to those of other psychedelics. Visual distortions, altered sense of time, and this heightened emotional awareness.
I see.
Some researchers believe it could hold promise for treating conditions like anxiety and addiction.
Wow. So from ancient rituals to modern medicine, it seems like we're just beginning to unlock the mysteries of psychedelics.
Absolutely. And speaking of unlocking mysteries, let's move on to a substance that's often called the spirit molecule.
Okay, bring it on. What is it?
DMT.
DMT. Okay, I've heard of this one. This one's fascinating because it's not just found in plants, but it's also produced naturally in the human body.
That's right. It's one of the things that makes DMT so intriguing.
Totally. So tell me more about like the history of DMT.
Well, indigenous Amazonian cultures have used DMT-containing plants for centuries in their spiritual practices. Mm. They believe that it allows them to communicate with the spirit world.
Wow, and what about the effects? I've heard they're incredibly intense, but also really short-lived.
You heard right. People often describe experiencing vivid visuals, a sense of transcendence, even the feeling of leaving their bodies.
Whoa.
But these effects typically last only about 15 to 30 minutes when DMT is inhaled.
It's wild that makes those theories about DMT being linked to dreaming and near-death experiences even more interesting.
It's definitely a thought-provoking concept.
Like, what if those profound states of consciousness are somehow connected to this naturally occurring molecule in our brains?
It's fascinating to think about. And as we delve deeper into this exploration, we'll see that the line between the physical and spiritual can get very blurry indeed.
Okay, well, I'm ready to keep going.
All right, hooked.
Up next, we'll be looking at another category of substances that are used for spiritual purposes, entheogenic plants.
All right, let's dive in.
So welcome back.
Back for more.
It's amazing to think that we've only just scratched the surface.
I know, right? We've covered some pretty potent ground with psychedelics.
Definitely.
But I am like really curious to see what other fascinating substances await us in this deep dive.
Well, get ready because we're about to shift gears a bit.
Ooh, okay, I like it.
We're going to explore a realm that might seem more familiar, fermented and alcoholic beverages.
Wait, really? You wouldn't believe it?
You wouldn't believe the rich history and spiritual significance that they hold in various cultures around the world.
You know, I usually associate those kind of drinks with, you know, social gatherings,
yeah.
Not necessarily spiritual experiences.
Right.
I'd love to hear more.
Let's start with kava.
I agree.
A beverage made from the root of the kava plant.
Okay.
And this is incredibly important in the South Pacific Islands.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a drink there.
Yeah.
It's a central element in their cultural and spiritual life.
So how does kava actually fit into their rituals and ceremonies?
Kava ceremonies are often quite elaborate. They involve songs, storytelling, and deep conversations.
Wow.
It's really a way for people to connect with their ancestors, with their community, and with something larger than themselves.
That is beautiful. You know, it sounds like such a beautiful way to build social bonds and to strengthen cultural identity.
Absolutely.
I'm curious about the effects of kava itself.
Okay.
Is it intoxicating like alcohol?
That's what's so fascinating about kava.
Okay.
Its effects are primarily calming and anxiety reducing without impairing cognitive function.
So it's like a social lubricant, but without like the downsides of alcohol.
Exactly.
It's pretty incredible.
And it's been a cornerstone of Pacific Island culture for over 3,000 years.
That is a really long time.
It is. Speaks to its enduring value in those societies.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm really curious about the other beverages mentioned in this article.
Okay, let's hop over to Japan,
right,
where we encounter another beverage with deep spiritual roots, sake.
Sake is all sake.
Often called rice wine sake, plays a crucial role in Shinto rituals.
So how is sake used in Shintoism?
Well, it's often offered to spirits as a gesture of respect and gratitude.
Okay.
It's also seen as a symbol of unity and prosperity.
Mm.
So it's enjoyed during celebrations, life milestones.
I see.
It's not just about connecting with the spirit world.
Yeah.
It's about celebrating life and strengthening bonds within the community.
You know, I've always found sake to be quite delicious.
Yeah.
But I honestly never knew about its deeper cultural significance.
It's fascinating. And the brewing process itself,
yeah,
is a fascinating blend of art and science. It involves multiple steps, careful temperature control, and this deep understanding of fermentation to transform simple rice into such a diverse and culturally significant beverage.
That is incredible.
It is.
From calming kava ceremonies to celebratory sake rituals.
Yeah.
It's clear that beverages can be so much more than just drinks.
Absolutely.
They can be powerful tools for connection, reflection, and spiritual expression.
They really can. And speaking of tools for connection, Let's shift our focus now to the realm of herbal and natural remedies.
Right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm particularly interested in learning more about sage and sweetgrass.
Oh!
I've heard about them being used in smudging ceremonies.
Yes.
But I'm not really sure what that entails.
Smudging is a beautiful practice with deep roots in Native American traditions.
Huh?
Sage and sweetgrass are burned.
Okay.
And the smoke is believed to cleanse and purify environments, people, and objects.
So it's like a spiritual cleansing ritual.
Exactly.
Mm.
It's often accompanied by prayers and intentions with the belief that the smoke carries those thoughts and wishes to the spirit world.
I love that imagery of the smoke carrying prayers and intentions.
Yeah.
It feels very symbolic and powerful.
It is. And the use of sage and sweetgrass extends beyond just purification.
Okay.
They're also used in ceremonies that affirm cultural identity and community bonds.
You know, it's fascinating how smudging with sage and sweetgrass has been adopted by various cultures all around the world.
Yeah.
It's become such a popular practice for stress relief and creating a peaceful atmosphere, even outside of its traditional context.
It really speaks to the universality of the human desire to find peace, connection, and a sense of the sacred.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now moving from the Americas to the Arabian Peninsula and Africa.
Okay.
What can we learn about frankincense and myrrh?
Ooh.
These substances sound so exotic and mysterious.
They are, frankincense and myrrh are aromatic resins,
okay.
And they're derived from the sap of trees. They have a long and fascinating history. They've been used in various religious traditions, often burned as incense during rituals, meditation, prayer.
I've always associated them with Christmas.
Right.
And the story of the three wise men.
Yeah.
But it sounds like their significance goes far beyond that.
Oh, it does. Frankincense in particular.
Okay.
Has strong symbolic meaning,
mm-hmm.
often associated with purity and divinity. It was highly prized in ancient times.
Wow.
And was even used in traditional medicine for its various properties.
And what about myrrh? What's its story?
Myrrh has a more pungent, earthy aroma.
Okay.
It was highly valued in ancient Egypt, not only for its fragrance,
yeah.
but also for its preservative qualities. Mm-hmm. It was actually used in embalming processes.
Oh, wow.
Highlighting its connection with the cycle of life and death.
Wow. Both frankincense and myrrh have such a rich and layered history.
They do.
From religious rituals to very practical applications.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see how these substances have woven themselves into the fabric of human experience across cultures and time.
It is. Now, for a substance that might surprise you.
Okay, hit me.
Let's talk about tobacco.
Tobacco.
You got it.
I have to admit, that's not one I typically associate with spiritual practices.
I understand why you'd say that.
It's generally seen as quite a harmful substance in modern society.
It is, but it's important to acknowledge its traditional and spiritual significance.
Okay.
Particularly in Native American cultures.
So how is tobacco viewed in those traditions?
In these cultures, tobacco is considered a sacred plant.
Mm-hmm.
It's used as an offering to the creator and to spirits during ceremonies.
So it's more about connection and respect than like recreational use.
Absolutely. The way tobacco is used in these ceremonies is very different from modern recreational smoking.
Yeah.
It's often smoked in a pipe or offered as a gift,
uh-huh.
with specific prayers and intentions accompanying the act.
I see. It's a powerful reminder that the context and intention behind the use of a substance can completely change its meaning and its impact.
Exactly. And as we move into our final section,
right.
we'll see how this concept plays out with even more fascinating substances and their diverse roles in human history and spirituality.
All right, so we're back for the final part of our deep dive exploring substances used for spiritual purposes.
Wow, it's been quite a journey.
I know, right?
From the Amazon rainforest to ancient ceremonies.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff.
It is. And I'm really curious to delve into this last category of substances highlighted in our article. It's quite an eclectic mix.
It is. We're venturing into a realm where we'll encounter substances that are both familiar and I think shrouded in a lot of misconception.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Let's start with which one?
Cannabis.
Cannabis. Okay.
Yeah.
It definitely seems to be a substance that sparks a lot of debate.
For sure.
And strong opinions. While many people associate it with recreational use.
Right.
I know it also holds spiritual significance in certain traditions.
You're right. In Hinduism, for example,
okay.
cannabis is linked to Lord Shiva.
Uh-huh.
And is used to enhance spiritual experiences and deepen meditation.
So it's seen as a way to connect with the divine.
Exactly. To gain spiritual insights.
Interesting. In many parts of the world, though, the focus has shifted more towards the medicinal potential of cannabis.
Absolutely. We're seeing increasing research into its potential for treating various conditions, from chronic pain to anxiety, even certain neurological disorders.
And with the growing distinction between THC and CBD, it seems like more people are becoming aware that you can experience the therapeutic benefits of cannabis without necessarily getting high.
Right. THC is the psychoactive compound that's responsible for the high.
Okay.
While CBD is non-psychoactive and is associated with many of the medicinal benefits. It's fascinating how scientists are now breaking down these compounds and exploring their individual properties.
That is fascinating. Oh. And to think that archaeological evidence points to cannabis use dating back over 5,000 years.
I know, it's incredible.
It really makes you realize how long humans have been interacting with this plant and its effects.
It speaks to our enduring curiosity and our constant exploration of how the natural world can impact our physical, mental, and spiritual well-being.
For sure. Okay, so speaking of plants with a long history, I never would have guessed that our next substance would be something as common as garlic.
Garlic, I know, right?
I mainly associate it with cooking.
Yeah.
And maybe warding off vampires.
Well, garlic certainly has a place in folklore and superstition.
That's right.
It's long been believed to have these protective qualities.
Okay.
Warding off negative energy and even illness.
So that whole vampire thing isn't entirely unfounded.
Right. But beyond its mythical associations, garlic actually has documented health benefits. It's known to have antibacterial and antiviral properties.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And may even help to lower blood pressure and boost the immune system.
It's incredible how something so common can have such a rich history and potential benefits. It's like a reminder to never underestimate the power of nature.
Absolutely.
Our article also mentions ginseng as another medicinal herb with spiritual significance.
Yes. Ginseng is highly valued in traditional Chinese medicine.
Okay.
Where it's believed to promote qi.
Qi,
or vital life force.
Oh.
It's used to enhance energy, improve cognitive function, and just promote overall well-being.
Interesting. So it's fascinating how different cultures have developed such complex systems of understanding and utilizing the healing properties of plants.
For sure.
And for our final stop on this deep dive,
oh, okay,
we're heading to the Andes.
To the Andes.
We encounter coca leaves.
Coca leaves have a long and complex history.
I bet.
Often overshadowed by their association with the processed drug cocaine.
Right.
But it's important to remember that in indigenous Andean cultures, coca leaves are considered sacred and are used in very different ways.
So how are coca leaves traditionally used in the Andes?
Well, they're used in rituals and ceremonies, often as offerings to Pachamama or Mother Earth. Chewing coca leaves is also a very common practice, and it's seen as a way to connect with the land and to gain energy and stamina, especially in high altitude environments.
I've heard they can help combat altitude sickness, too.
Exactly. Which makes sense considering their traditional use in mountainous regions.
Right.
And it's important to note that coca leaves themselves are not the same as cocaine.
Okay.
Cocaine is a highly processed and concentrated extract that has very different effects.
It's another example of how the way a substance is processed and consumed can just drastically alter its properties and impact.
Absolutely. And as we wrap up this deep dive, I think it's incredible to just reflect on the sheer diversity of substances that we've explored and how deeply intertwined they are with human history, culture, and spirituality.
It has been an incredible journey.
It has.
We've gone from the depths of the Amazon rainforest.
I know, right?
To the heights of the Andes Mountains, encountering ancient traditions, spiritual practices, and even modern scientific discoveries along the way.
From potent psychedelics to calming beverages, sacred herbs, and energizing leaves.
It's pretty amazing.
It is. We've seen how these substances have been used to heal, to connect, to explore, and to transcend throughout human history.
It really makes you wonder what drives this innate human desire to explore altered states of consciousness and connect with something beyond ourselves.
It's a question worth pondering. Perhaps it's a testament to our endless curiosity, our yearning for meaning and connection, or simply a reflection of our deep relationship with the natural world.
Mm.
Whatever the reason, it's clear that the exploration of these substances and their effects will continue to fascinate and challenge us for generations to come.
Well said. I think that's a perfect note to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Absolutely.
We hope you've enjoyed exploring this fascinating topic as much as we have.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time.